This lecture is on curvilinear coordinates. Today we're going to talk about two-dimensional coordinates, and then in the next lecture we'll talk about three-dimensional coordinates. The ones you're used to are Cartesian coordinates, x and y, and so now we'll introduce another pair. Polar coordinates are the distance from the origin, and I'll call the angle phi. Phi will be measured counterclockwise from the positive x-axis. It's important to remember while we're discussing these coordinates that the underlying two-dimensional space, also called a two-dimensional manifold, is flat. It's like a sheet of paper. And so you can assign labels to that sheet of paper, either Cartesian labels or polar labels. The polar coordinates are curved, but the underlying manifold is not. It's completely flat. So that would be in contrast to, let's say, the surface of a balloon. That's an example of a non-flat two-dimensional manifold. So everything we're going to discuss so far is going to be for flat spaces, flat two-dimensional spaces, and then next time flat three-dimensional spaces. And that just means that all of the rules that you learned in high school geometry, which apply to Euclidean geometry, are going to work. So for example, if you draw a triangle, the sum of the interior angles will be 180 degrees. If you draw a circle, the radius will be related to the circumference by the circumference is 2 pi r, where r is the radius. All of those rules, which may be the only ones you've ever heard of, those only work in flat Euclidean spaces, but that's what we'll cover first in this class. Okay. Along with these coordinates, I'll give you a translation dictionary. So if somebody tells you the Cartesian coordinates of a point, x and y, you can figure out what the radial coordinate is. The radial coordinate is the positive square root. Remember, every time you take a square root, there are two answers, one positive, one negative. So it's defined to be the positive square root of the quantity x squared plus y squared. This is necessarily positive definite. That means it's positive, and it's only zero unless both x and y are zero, that is, if you're at the origin. The polar angle phi is the arctangent of the y-coordinate divided by the x-coordinate. Now, you have to be a little careful when you use the second one. You may or may not need to adjust it by a factor of pi radians, that is, 180 degrees. So the notes say that maybe plus or minus pi radians. That doesn't mean either you add pi radians or you subtract pi radians, because both of those operations will take you to the same point. What this means is sometimes you may have to add or subtract pi radians. Sometimes you may have to do nothing. So let me give you an example. And the way to tell whether you need to adjust the angle or not is to draw a diagram. So here I have the Cartesian XY plane, and let's pick a random point, let's say 3, 1. So 3 units along X, 1 unit along Y. And you can figure out what the radial coordinate is, and how about the angle? Okay, the angle is the arctangent of y divided by x. Y is 1, x is 3, so it's the arctangent of 1/3, which is 0.322 roughly radians, or about 18.4 degrees. And then you draw the diagram, locate the point, you'll see that 3, 1 is in the first quadrant, and so the angle between the x-axis and the point should be less than 90 degrees. And in fact, 18.4 degrees is less than 90. So you should do nothing. The formula is working as is. It doesn't require any addition or subtraction of 180 degrees. In contrast, how about another point? How about down here, x equals minus 3, y equals minus 1. So now you're down in the third quadrant. If you apply the formula naively, the angle phi is the arctangent of the y-coordinate divided by the x-coordinate, so minus 1 over minus 3, and the minus signs cancel, and so you're taking the same arctangent that you did above, arctangent of 1/3, and you're getting 18.4 degrees. But if you look at the diagram, that's clearly wrong. This angle should be between 180 degrees, which is the negative x-axis, and 270 degrees, which is the negative y-axis. That's where the angle is drawn in green. And so in this case, you do need to add pi radians or add 180 degrees to the result to get you into the third quadrant. If instead of adding 180 degrees, you subtracted 180 degrees, you would get this red angle. that's also valid. It takes you to the same point. So the green angle and the red angle are the same. The green angle is positive between 180 and 270, and the red angle is negative between negative 90 and negative 180 degrees. So either positive or negative polar angles phi are okay. To go along with these two coordinates, there are unit vectors. And so this has two names. I'll use them interchangeably. E sub r hat, the hat is to remind you that this is a unit vector, is the same thing as r hat. And that's a unit vector that points in the direction of increasing r. In other words, it points away from the origin. Wherever you are in the two-dimensional plane, r hat points away from the origin. And then there's another unit vector, phi hat or e phi hat, which points in the direction of increasing angle phi, that is to say, it will point counterclockwise. Wherever you are in the xy plane, it will point counterclockwise using the origin as the center. This pair of unit vectors are orthogonal and normal. So if you take the dot product of r hat with itself, you'll get one. And in the same way, if you take the dot product of phi hat with itself, you'll get one. That's what it means to be a unit vector. But they're orthogonal to each other. And so if you take the dot product of r hat and phi hat, you'll get zero. They're 90 degrees apart. Again, wherever you are in the plane. This may take a little while to get used to because the unit vectors that you're used to, the I hat, j hat, and k hat from intro mechanics, are constant. They don't depend on where you are in the plane, whereas the r hat and the phi hat do depend on your location. So just to remind you, the I hat that you learned about in physics is also called X hat. Ignore this smudge mark. That's a stray mark on the slide. It's also called E1 hat. It's also called E sub X hat. Again, all four of these are used interchangeably. And the same for the Y direction. J hat is the one you learned about early in your physics career. And it's also called Y hat. It's also called E2 hat. That's not a Z. That's the number two. And it's also called E sub Y hat. Again, all four interchangeably. And there would be a similar set of four for the Z direction, but we're in two dimensions today, so I don't need the third one. This is the inverse translation dictionary. If somebody tells you the distance from the origin R and the angle phi, then you can find the X coordinate simply by multiplying R times the cosine of phi, and y is r times the sine of phi. These can be used without ambiguity. There's nothing like having to add or subtract an angle sometimes and not add or subtract other times. These always work. They always give you the correct x and y values. Now what we'd like to do is write these new unit vectors, write e sub r hat and e sub phi hat in terms of Cartesian coordinates, that is, in terms of x and y and ex hat and exy hat. So the first er is easy. Let's do that first. Er hat or r hat is just the displacement vector r in two dimensions divided by its length. So r vector has a magnitude and a direction. If I divide out by the magnitude of r, then what I'm left with is a pure direction, or in other words, a unit vector. But I know what r vector is in two-dimensional coordinates. It's I times x plus j times y, or in other words, it's x times ex hat plus y times ey hat. And the length of r was part of our translation dictionary. That's up here. The length of r is the radial coordinate in polar coordinates. It's the square root of x squared plus y squared. And so r hat is this combination. R hat is x times ex plus y times ey divided by the square root of x squared plus y squared. So I achieved what I wanted. I've written the unit vector in polar coordinates er hat in terms of purely Cartesian quantities, x and y and ex and ey. And you'll see why we're doing that in a second, because it's easier to take time derivatives of Cartesian quantities than it is radial quantities. Now, the second unit vector, phi hat or e phi hat, that is a little tricky, and I will use the following. I know that e phi hat has to be a unit vector. So when I take the dot product of phi hat with itself, I'll get one. And I also know that it has to be perpendicular to ER hat, and it must point counterclockwise. So I will switch the X and Y, that is, in the ER hat, I had X times EX hat. Now I'll switch it for Y times EX hat. And where I had Y times EY, I'll switch that to X times EY. And I need to change the sign of one of them. The reason for doing this is that, so when you take the dot product of these two quantities on the right-hand side, you'll get X times minus Y, and then plus Y times X with a plus sign, and they will cancel and give you zero. But how do you know whether to put the minus sign in front of the X component, or maybe you should put the minus sign in front of the Y component? And the answer is to draw a picture. So here's the XY two-dimensional plane, and I've located a point at X equals one, Y equals zero. That's a point on the X axis, 1 unit from the origin. In this coordinate system, EY should point up. Remember, EPHI should point up. EPHI is counterclockwise. Wherever you are in the plane, EPHI points in the direction of increasing angle. And so in this case, it should point up along the Y direction. And let's see if it does. So if I take this purported formula and I plug in X equals one and Y equals zero, Y equals zero will knock out the first term. X is equal to 1, and so I'll just get 1 times y hat. And in the denominator, I have the square root of x squared plus y squared. That's the square root of 1 squared plus 0 squared, which is 1. And so the answer is that for that particular point, phi hat is equal to y hat. And that is correct. It agrees with the diagram. So we got the sign right. The minus sign belongs in front of the first term, not the second. Okay, now that I have R written in terms of X and Y, and angle phi written in terms of X and Y with this disclaimer in red that sometimes you need to correct it. And now I have unit vectors, ER written in terms of X and Y and the Cartesian unit vectors, and E phi hat written in terms of X and Y and the Cartesian unit vectors. Now I can start taking derivatives. So let's take the time derivative of the distance from the origin, that is the time derivative of the polar radial coordinate. This the dot is written in Newton notation. In Leibniz notation, that would be dr dt. And so you scroll up to the top of the page. This is the equation that I have to take the derivative of. So take the derivative of both sides. On the left, I simply get dr dt. And on the right, I have to take the derivative of that square root. So take the time derivative of the quantity x squared plus y squared, and instead of writing the square root, I raised it to the 1/2 power because that makes the differentiation a little bit more clear. And now this is practice with the chain rule. In calculus one, you were taught the chain rule and you were probably wondering, when will I ever use that? Well, now you get a chance to use it. So the chain rule says the first thing you should do is work from the outside in. I have some quantity raised to the 1/2 power. And so when you take the derivative, the exponent 1/2, this factor of 1/2 will come down in front, and then you should decrement the exponent by 1, and so 1/2 minus 1 is minus 1/2, but you're not done, because now the chain rule says you need to go inside the parentheses and take the time derivative of both of these terms. The time derivative of x squared is 2x, but then you're still not done, because x is a function of time, and so you need dx dt, or in Newton notation, x dot. And the same for the y term. The derivative of this term y squared is 2 times y, but then times the derivative of y with respect to time would dy dt. So that's 2y times y dot in the compressed Newton notation. And now we can clean things up a little bit. So this factor of 1/2 will cancel the 2s in the expression, and I'll put this quantity to the negative 1/2 power in the denominator and write it as a square root. So that's the final answer. R dot is this. It's x times x dot plus y times y dot divided by the square root of x squared plus y squared. There are no vectors in this equation because R didn't have any vectors in it, and the time derivative of R will not introduce any vectors in it, and so the answer should not have any unit vectors in it, and it does not. In red, this is a warning that R dot is not the same thing as R vector, time derivative, and then absolute value. So let's work out what this thing is in red. The dot just means time derivative. And so if you take the time derivative of R vector, you'll get the velocity vector. But I know what the velocity vector is in Cartesian coordinates. The RDT in Cartesian coordinates is x dot times ex plus y dot times ey. So I just took the Cartesian vector R, which is x times ex plus y times ey, and when I hit it with the time derivative, only the components, only x has a time derivative and y has a time derivative, the Cartesian vectors ex hat and ey hat are constants, and so they don't get any dots on them. Okay, but then I should take the absolute value of that velocity vector, but that's easy to do. You take the square of the x component and the square of the y component, add them together and take the square root. And so R vector dot absolute value would be the square root of x dot squared plus y dot squared, and that is clearly different from what we got in blue, which is R dot. So just keep in mind that R dot is not the same thing as R vector dot absolute value. It matters the order in which you take the operations. Here I took R vector magnitude first and then took the dot. Here I took R vector and the dot first and then the magnitude, and they result in different quantities. Okay, let's do the same thing for phi. So we scroll back up to the top of the page and we look in our translation dictionary for phi. In terms of x and y, it's the arctangent of y over x, maybe with a correction. Fortunately, when I take the time derivative, that correction will go away, because if I needed to add or subtract pi radians or add or subtract 180 degrees, that's a constant. And when you hit it with the time derivative, that part will go away. So phi dot is the time derivative of the angle phi, that is d by dt of the arctangent of y over x. Okay, more practice with the chain rule. So we work from the outside in. The derivative of the arctangent of something is 1 plus that something squared, in the 1 over 1 plus that something squared. And then I have to go inside the parentheses and take the derivative of the ratio y over x. So that's written up here in the numerator. And on the next line, I've copied the denominator down. So 1 over 1 plus the quantity y over x squared is written here. And the next term is the time derivative of y over x. And so I need the quotient rule. The quotient rule says it's the bottom times the derivative of the top minus the top times the derivative of the bottom over the bottom squared. This is a dot. That means multiply these two fractions together. And with a little bit of algebra, that will turn into x times y dot minus y times x dot over the quantity x squared plus y squared. Again, no vectors should appear in this equation because phi didn't have any vectors in it. And when you took the dot product, when you took the time derivative of phi, you should not introduce any vectors, and there aren't. Okay, so those were relatively easy. The next one is a little bit more tedious. I want to take the time derivative of the unit vector in the radial direction. I want er hat dot, which I could also write as dr hat by dt. So I scroll up to the first page and I get the expression that we derived for r hat or e sub r hat. That's this. And so I'm going to copy the equation in that blue box down to here. Those expressions are identical. And now I want to take d by dt of this entire expression. All right, as a first step, before I even hit it with the derivative, I will write the square root in the denominator as x squared plus y squared raised to the negative 1/2 power and put that in the numerator. It just makes the derivative a little bit easier. And the whole reason for doing this is that these Cartesian unit vectors, ex hat and ey hat, because they're constants, their time derivative is zero. So ex hat dot is zero and ey hat dot is zero. And now let's see what happens. All right, now I have the product of two terms. And so the derivative of the product works like this. I'll take the time derivative of the first term and I'll leave the second one alone. So this second term is just copied without change below. When I take the time derivative of the first term, the derivative of x is x dot, and then times ex, that's a constant. Again, I don't have to worry about the time derivative of ex hat. And when I take the time derivative of the second term, the y picks up a dot, so y dot. And again, the unit vector doesn't have any time derivative, so that's it for the first term. And then I should leave the first term untouched, so that's copied over here, and then take the time derivative of the second term. All right, so again, more chain rule, so work your way in. First, they're the exponent, minus 1/2 comes down in front, that's right in here. And then I get the quantity in parentheses, and I should decrement the exponent by 1. So negative 1/2 minus 1 is negative 3/2. And then we're not done, because now we need to go inside the parentheses and take the derivative of x squared plus y squared. But we did that above. It's 2x x dot plus 2y y dot, and I factored out the common factor of 2. Okay, the 2 will cancel the 1/2. And now I have this term that has x squared plus y squared to the negative 3/2 power. This term has x squared plus y squared to the negative 1/2 power. I'll put them over a common denominator, which is x squared plus y squared to the 3/2 power. And that means I had to multiply this first term by one whole factor of x squared plus y squared to the 1 power. Okay, now this first term has two monomials in it, times another 2, so there will be 4 terms resulting from this multiplication. And similarly, when I expand the second term, I get 2 terms times 2 terms, so there will be 4 more coming from this. And here they are written out. I won't read these to you. You can follow along a little bit later in the notes. But 4 of them have negative signs because of this negative sign in front. And in fact, they cancel. 2 pairs of terms cancel. And then after simplifying, I wind up with this expression again, which I will not read to you. This factors. And so one of the factors is minus y times ex hat over, x times dy hat over the square root of x squared plus y squared. But that we've seen before, that is exactly e phi hat. So you can scroll back up in the notes onto the first page. And that was this, e phi hat, when we worked out the direction to get it right. And then the second term becomes x y dot minus y x dot over x squared plus y squared. But that's exactly the expression we got above for phi dot. And so again, we can scroll up and find it right there. And so the upshot is, after a lot of work, we discovered that er hat dot, that is the time derivative of r hat, is this. It is a unit vector in the phi direction times phi dot. For homework, I will let you work out the last one. There are 4 quantities of which we had to take the derivative. So we did 3 of them together. We found r dot first, then we found phi dot, and then just now we found r hat dot. And for homework, I will let you work out what e phi hat dot is. If you're working by analogy, you might look at this thing and say, well, when I had er hat and then took the dot product of it, I got both quantities in the phi direction. I got e phi hat and then phi dot. So maybe when you take the time derivative of e phi hat, maybe you'll get er hat times r dot. That's wrong. This is one case where reasoning by analogy doesn't quite work correctly. So you'll have to work it out like I did from scratch. Okay, let's take a look at the difference between Cartesian coordinates in 2 dimensions and polar coordinates in 2 dimensions. The position vector in Cartesian coordinates is just x times ex hat plus y times ey hat, or if you like, it's x times I hat plus y times j hat. The velocity vector is the time derivative of the position vector. And again, because the Cartesian vectors are constant, the time derivative, that is the dot, only acts on the coordinates themselves. And so our vector dot is x dot ex plus y dot ey. And if you want the acceleration, that's the time derivative of the velocity vector, or it's two time derivatives of the position vector. And again, the unit vectors don't pick up any dots, and so you just get x double dot times ex plus y double dot times ey. And you can see how to continue this process. The next derivative, the derivative of the acceleration is called the jerk. You would just have three dots. It would be x triple dot ex plus y triple dot ey. So taking derivatives in Cartesian coordinates is easy. Taking derivatives in polar coordinates is a bit more trouble. So first, let's work out, what's the analog of this? How do I express r vector, but in polar coordinates? And again, this is where thinking by analogy will fail. If you look at the Cartesian expression, x times ex hat plus y times y hat, you might expect in polar coordinates, r vector would be r times er hat. That one is correct. But then you might think there's a term phi times e phi hat, but there isn't. So r vector in polar coordinates only has one term. It's just r times er hat, and that's it. There is no angle dependence. Now, how do I take the derivative of r vector to get the velocity vector? Well, dr by dt, I need to take the derivative of r times er hat. But now the complication is both of these get non-trivial time derivatives. There's a time derivative of r dot, but now there's also a time derivative of er hat, because this vector does change as you move around the two-dimensional plane. So er dot is non-zero. And in fact, we worked it out. That's up here. Er hat dot is e phi hat times phi dot. So I can use the product rule, take the derivative of the first one and leave the second one alone. That's done here. So r dot times er hat vector. And then leave the first one alone and take the derivative of the second one. That's this. R times er hat dot, and then put in what we just derived. So er hat dot is this, it's phi dot times e phi hat. And these have a physical interpretation. The component of er hat, the coefficient of er hat, that is the radial component of the velocity, is r dot. That is called the radial speed. And then the component of e phi hat, I keep saying component, the coefficient of e phi hat is this, r dot times, r times phi dot rather, is called the tangential speed. So there's a speed in the radial direction and there's a speed in the tangential direction perpendicular to the radius. In astronomy, these are both used. The radial speed is responsible for the Doppler effect. So if a star, for example, is moving toward you, all of its spectral lines will be shifted toward the blue end of the spectrum. If the star is moving away from you, all of its spectral lines will be shifted toward the red end of the spectrum. And you can use the Doppler shift to determine how quickly the star is moving toward you or away from you. That is, you can determine r dot based on the shift in the spectral lines. And then this tangential speed is called the proper motion. And most stars are so far away that it's very difficult to see the proper motion, that is the motion of the stars across the sky. But if stars are relatively nearby, then it is possible to see the proper motion. A particular example is Barnard star. Barnard star is only 6 light years away. It's the fourth closest star, excluding the sun. And it is possible to watch, over the years, watch Barnard star trace a path across the sky. So it has a very large proper motion. It's also close enough for you to see that. Okay, you can do the same thing. Again, this will be homework. Find the components of the acceleration vector. So do what we did above for the velocity vector, but one more derivative for the acceleration, and reduce everything to something that multiplies er hat, that would be here, and something that multiplies e phi hat. And the thing that goes in the blank here is called the radial component of the acceleration. The thing that goes in the second blank is called the tangential component of the acceleration. The radial acceleration is also called the centripetal acceleration. And on the homework, I think I'll have you do one more derivative. So you, once you're adept at taking derivatives and getting the acceleration, you can take one more derivative and get a dot. A dot is the jerk. Okay, and that's it for today. So next time we'll worry about three-dimensional curvilinear coordinates.